This is Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence, your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Backspin Golf is brought to you by Clark's Pump and Shop, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Edwin Watts Golf, and Georgetown Advantage Air. Let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf.
Good morning. Welcome to a great Sunday morning here on Backspin Golf, all you golf peeps and non-golf peeps, and Sean, who's one of those categories. I hope you're going to get a chance to play today. We got a great show, as we always do, coming up. And by the way, good morning, Chris Mascaro. Peeps, if you want a great golf podcast, a great golf podcast, one of the top 50 in the world on the web, it's Next on the Tee with our buddy Chris Mascaro. Coming up on our show here today, Chris McEwen is going to join me of Golf Origin Stories. He is a wonderful guy, was just up in French Lick with a gaggle of us. And we're going to talk to him about his experience. He's really a pretty amazing guy. So he'll be first up. We'll join him. And then our buddy Frank Bassett, who we haven't spoken to for a little while, the main guy at Golf Talk America, which is a big, big deal, as you all know. He'll join us and we'll get his thoughts. He was at French Lick also, but we'll get his thoughts. They did a whole show on that so-called Premier Golf League or whatever the heck it was. I want to ask him his thoughts on that. And then our buddy Matt McCrady from Man of War Golf, as always, will join us. All of that's coming up on Backspin Golf, and I'm ready. So here we go. Joining me now here on Backspin Golf, this is one of my favorite guys. Oh, wait, can he hear this? I guess so. This is one of my favorite guys. Chris McEwen from Golf Origin Stories he's a pretty remarkable guy. I just say that, as so many of the people that I have met through golf Twitter. And he's just another example of that. And our community is pretty amazing. Anyway, hi, Chris McEwen.
Hey, Matthew. Thanks for having me on again.
No,
appreciate being here.
It's always a joy to talk to you.
I got to say, too, just to echo your sentiments around golf Twitter, I know Twitter and social media in general can have, like, you know, its reputation. But you're right. We have sort of, you know, put together this little fun group of quite a lot of people that we get along. We talk golf. We have a good time with each other. We don't take anything too seriously. It's pretty great, just in general. Well, I enjoy it.
It is, and it's the best example of what Twitter can be. Absolutely the best example, because we all now have people around the country and around the world, frankly, that we've gotten friendly with. And even though some of us have never physically met, we feel like we've been friends for a long time, and we kind of hang out and play golf and do stuff. And it is the best of Twitter. And I'm blessed that every single Sunday I get to do this and talk to a lot of those people, including you, like someone like you, the great Chris McEwen.
The feeling is mutual. Thank you, sir.
Thanks. All right. Hey, Sean, this is turning. I got to say something mean now or something. I got to come up with something. This is ruining my reputation. Anyway, let's start with this past weekend, last weekend, actually Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah.
One of my partners for many years has been French Lick Resort, and I'm blessed that I live 2 hours and 15 minutes from there, and I've been there many times. But these 3 days that another one of our golf Twitter buddies, Ryan Ballingee, put together, along with all the great people at French Lick, a group of people go up there, play golf,
hang out afterwards. A beer or two was had on the golf course as well as in the bars at Fresh Lake. But it was a fantastic few days. And one of the things that my brother Mitchie, of course, was there. And he plays hickories and he loves walking golf courses. And I had a great conversation with him after playing what I call the Valley course, because that's how I know it. Yeah. At French Lick. Now we have the Pete Dye course, world famous. We have the Donald Ross course, world famous. And we have the Valley course behind the two hotels. And there is a video that my brother took of you when you guys played it on Monday or Tuesday. I can't remember.
Tuesday. Yep.
And I want you to talk about the way you feel about walking. You have explained to the listeners your really wonderful push cart that you have.
By the way, the Valley course kind of stole the show. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
The Pete Dye course is out of this world. Super fun. Amazing condition. Like probably the best conditions I've ever played on. Donald Ross is a Donald Ross.
Correct.
I think it's my fifth one I played. But the Valley, this, you know, unassuming nine-hole bungalow, the original course of the resort built in early 1900s or whatever. I love that. I played again. I played it twice. I played the nines or the nine back-to-back just because I didn't want to leave the golf course. I would have played it again had not like a huge gaggle of like middle school kids just invaded the course, like for some school golf competition. I was like, all right, I'll get out of the way, because these were like real golfers. My cart setup, it's kind of blinged out, and it wasn't even fully kind of set up, but I've got my Bose speaker attached to the handle. I've got my guitar.
All right, Hold it. Stop right there. Okay. A lot of people, like, I put music on when I'm playing, and I unfortunately can't walk because my hip is bad, but I have music playing in the cart, but it's on my phone.
Yeah.
And I have my Amazon Music and I have it turned up. You don't just have like a speaker on your push cart. You have a Bose speaker your push cart.
And it's awesome because it's got a little like a rubber attachment on the back, and it just wraps right around the handle. And then it's pointed at me. It's not pointed out, so I'm not disturbing anyone or anything like that. I've got that set up. I've got my amazing guitar, like this hand-carved wooden guitar divot repair tool that Mitch gave me that I absolutely love. And that's attached to the cart so I can snag it. I got some stickers on there. And what wasn't pictured is below on the cart, I've got a cooler bag that I can put cold beverages in, whatever you prefer to put in there.
Yeah. Diet Coke.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And a little basket underneath where I put, cause I'm a photog and a videographer and things. So I put all my camera gear underneath there. And it's a great setup. I've got it dialed in 100%. It's the best.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
And what Mitchell and I also talked about, the fact that this is how we should all play golf now. Those of us that, I mean, we're obviously, we're not playing for, it's not our job. It's not the way that you go about this, and Mitch too, actually,
is
the way all of us should play to get the most enjoyment out of golf.
Yeah,
right?
Man, I totally agree. It's just a laid back outdoor good time with friends. You know, we just happen to be trying to, like, the beauty of golf to me is that, I've said it before, whether it's strangers or us, you know, friends, whatever it may be, as soon as you get onto that first tee, you are rooting for the people that you're playing with.
Right.
At least I am, to like play well, hit good shots, have fun. You were congratulated on good shots, good putts. And there just aren't a lot of sports like that where you can play and still concentrate and compete with the golf course and yourself, but at the same time, just really truly enjoy your company and your surroundings. And I use music as a bridge, just like golf, to find what other people's interests are, you know, and I'll play, yeah. I'll take requests. I've got a big catalog of stuff.
So. I'll take requests. That's great. I'm going to remember that next when I'm playing with you.
That's right.
The thing that I think for a lot of us, and we're talking with Chris McEwen of Golf Origin Stories and many other things, which I will mention, the thing that I have always struggled with and I've gotten a lot better with is that feeling creeping in still of when I hit a bad shot, it upsets me. Or when I have somehow not yet gotten to that place of golf nirvana where I can truly go, okay, hit a bad shot, I don't care. It's still hard for me. I mean, Mitchie and I played four sports growing up. We were competitive athletes for a long time. And there's still something about when I get in a bunker and I hit a bad shot, which is often out of bunkers. But I've also holed out from bunkers. And that's what gets me. It's like, I know I can do this.
Right.
This is why it's so frustrating, though.
Right. Here's what I decided like 2 weeks ago. I just decided that I'm a good golfer. Regardless of the outcome of my shots, I just said, you know what? I'm a good golfer. And that put me at ease. And that just kind of calmed me. Really gave me a zen.
This is awesome. As a matter of fact, I'm going to make a little sign. You know, on the cart, which unfortunately I always have to take, they have that placed at the top of the cart for the pin locations. I'm going to make a sign that says I am a good golfer and put it right there. So I look at it all the time.
You know what? Yeah. You just gave me an idea. I'm going to make a new sticker and I'm going to add it to my push cart that says, Chris, you are a good golfer.
I'm honored. Truly honored.
That's it. Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about Golf Origin Stories. And
sure,
there are many things that you do. And if you go to chrismcewen.com, it's K-R, you couldn't spell it like everybody else. K-R-I-S-M-C-E-W-E-N.com, correct?
Correct. Yeah. I was Chris with C-H for 10 months of my life. And then my parents decided that they wanted me to spell my name out forever. So they changed it to a K.
And I'm speaking as someone whose last name is Lawrence and it's spelled L-A-U-R-A-N-C-E. Right. So I get it. I have to do it all the time. Is there something that you, when you think about when you start your origin in doing this and where you are now and what it's evolved to, is there something that stands out to you about your origin and the road you've traveled?
Man, you know, I didn't think it would kind of turn into, it was really, and I've said this, it still is kind of just a selfish endeavor for me to meet golfers in another way and talk about how they fell in love with the game. I mean, they're conversations that we have on the golf course anyways.
Right.
You know, really. And so I just kind of extended that to a podcast and it's been great. I think the behind the scenes part of it, I've learned a ton, right? I've learned how to edit and sound engineer and stuff. And it got me another gig with your brother and Darren.
Yes.
As a producer for that show. And so I've learned a bunch about that stuff, but really, I think what really stands out to me anyways, is that no one has a boring golf origin story. Like everyone's, because they're the ones telling it. And when you hear it from kind of the source, they all sort of resonate. You know, there are some commonalities, right? Like a lot of dads or a lot of moms or uncles or family members took players out or took, you know, kids out and introduced them to the game, but it's still, they're still great. Every single one is great, you know, and
right.
there's always some emotion behind them and some feeling. And I think a lot of times Ryan Ballingee, it snuck up on him a little bit. Mitch, it snuck up on him a little bit. Just remembering and sort of vocalizing who and how and when people fell in love with golf is just, it's emotional. It gets you, man.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It is emotional. And as you say, every single person, even my brother and I, who are identical twins, have completely different origin story.
It's totally true. It's totally
completely
true.
I mean, we didn't play golf growing up. I've often said we used to kick the crap out of guys that played golf because it was not cool where we grew up in New York. Right. And he went to L.A. and 4 years before I did, maybe. And he started playing and then I moved out there. And every story is really different. And when we all look back now, it's pretty amazing. Yeah. I want to we got about 2 minutes left.
Sure.
You mentioned you are producing now. You are working with my jackass of a brother, Mitch. And I say it lovingly, kind of. Producing, working with Darren and Mitch and Brian to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Talk to us just a little bit about Talking Golf Getaways.
Yeah, that's another thing that's been really fun. So my first idea for a podcast a few years ago was to do a golf travel podcast. And I listened to Mitch and Darren's show and I was like, well, not doing that. They got it figured out. And so, and that was, you know, a long time ago. And then sure enough, now I'm working with those guys, playing golf with those guys. And it's so much fun just getting to, you know, I've learned a lot from them sitting in on their process and how they do things. And then it's just another opportunity for me to be involved with golf. And you know, I love sound engineering. I love making the stuff over, you know, mm-hmm. more than anything. And so that's really just been the joy of it, just to get to help them share their show and make it yep. sound great. Yeah.
And boy, are you doing that. And I'll just drop in. You're very smart because we're coming off a year where nobody could travel. Nobody could do anything. Now we're getting to a place in the summer where hopefully those trips on Talking Golf Getaways like to Bandon and all these incredible places. And now you'll be able to go on those trips with them. That's very smart.
It's Yep. I'm just going to be the little brother tagging along with, you know, dragging my microphones and audio equipment.
Oh, boy. Again, I can't thank you enough for joining me today, and we'll do this again soon. And it's KRISMCEWEN.com. And I'm telling you, peeps, when you go there, just look through all the things that are available to you. I'm a moron with this, with all this social media and digital stuff. And you are, you can do this and this and this and this and watch this and listen to this and do this and that. So I'm kind of in awe of it.
Thanks, man.
It is absolutely great stuff, all of it. And we'll talk to you again soon. Stay safe, have fun, and thanks again, man.
No problem. Thanks.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Edwin Watts Golf.
Welcome back, peeps, golf peeps and non-golf peeps, to Backspin Golf. Joining me now, I may regret this, but he can be so good sometimes, and other times he's always good. Frank Bassett, the guy from Golf Talk America. This is a big deal, peeps. Having Frank Bassett join me is a big deal, or so he keeps telling me. I don't know. Golf Talk America is one of the, if not the best, show that you can listen to. And we'll tell you how to do that. Hello, Frank Bassett.
Hello, sir. How are you? Good morning.
I'm okay. I hope you are.
I'm doing well. I've showered. Haven't shaven yet, but, you know, I'm smelling good. So here I am.
All right. That's not kind of really what I wanted, but okay. When somebody says, how are you? Okay. That's an answer, especially after the last year or so when none of us took showers or shaved. But thankfully, things are different now.
But I did grow my hair out for the first time in, since back when you were probably acting in Hollywood in New York and I was playing trumpet on the road. So
there you go.
Rock star hair again, but I'm not a rock star.
It doesn't matter. As long as you have the hair, that's all that matters. And yeah. I say that as somebody who doesn't have any. So, you know, this whole line of speaking is really starting to annoy me. Anyway, it's great to talk to you again. Now, you, as well as our first guest on the show today, the wonderful Chris McEwen, We're at French Lick, the incredible French Lick. Now, you've been there many times. Chris hadn't been there. My brother Mitchie hadn't been there. But it was a great 2 or 3 days for everybody. And just talk to us for a minute about your experience up there at French Lick.
Well, you, as you know, and we've been there together many, many times. And this past time, of course, was as good as any of them previously. Yeah. But one thing that I noticed, and I want to know if you noticed it too, is this golf course, the Pete Dye course I'm speaking of first, is it's incredibly difficult if you try to overpower it.
Yeah. But
it's if you play it from the proper tees and put the ball where you're supposed to put the ball, or at least close to where you're supposed to put the ball, the course has matured such that it's very receptive now to a resort style player, I think. So,
yeah.
Because if you go back to when they had the senior PGA championship there on day one, and they were playing the course in severe conditions, as you remember.
Yep.
And 40 players shot 80 plus. 40 PGA Tour champions.
Best in the world.
80 plus.
Right.
Best in the world. So this course can bite you, but play it the way you're supposed to play it. Check your ego at the door.
Yes.
And as I did, put on a kilt and move forward. So there.
Well, you know, the other thing about the, especially the Dye course up there, is that when you look, first of all, it's all those things you said are true, but it is very difficult. It's one of the most magical, incredibly beautiful golf courses you can play, but it's a Pete Dye golf course in extreme conditions. It's not even like down at Sawgrass or his other four PGA West or any of those. This piece of land, Pete got out there and went, oh boy, can I have fun with this?
Yes.
And that automatically makes it. But as you said, as the just the experience of being out there is fantastic. And then, of course, the Donald Ross course, which is a true Donald Ross course. It's amazing.
It's a brute. It's a true brute.
Yeah.
And again, same thing there.
Yeah.
But what was so funny is you weren't with us when we were playing in our group at the Ross.
Right.
But the guys I was playing with, I said, boys, I am eligible to move forward. And therefore, Frank, since I've lived this long, bye-bye.
Yeah.
If you want to come on up, you're welcome to play with me on those pretty silver tees.
See?
Well, they did. And Ryan Ballingy, one of our friends with Golf News Net, who hits it so far, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
He's like Bryson.
He's a joke.
He moved up to the tees with me and played it from there and shot a worse round than he had previously played from the back tees because it brought everything into trouble for him.
Right.
And that's the thing people don't realize, whether you're at French Lick or Sawgrass or Whistling Straits or wherever. When you move to those forward tees, it changes the entire perspective and layout of a golf course. Period.
Absolutely it does. And I've done that. I haven't I've moved up. I've started playing the white tees 3 or 4 years ago. But, you know, my brother Mitchie, who was also at French Lick, but also was here last Saturday, and we played 10 holes at one of our great golf courses here. And he plays hickories and he plays from the red tees because he can.
And here's and he plays hickories. He plays hickories also. So, yeah.
Right. And
wow, how cool is that?
There were times when I just went to the red tees with him and played there. And man, it was fun. It was fun for me to hit wedges in on par fours as opposed to five hybrids, you know, which I'm usually doing now. All of us can learn from that. Play where you want to play from. We're not playing for, it's not our living. Play. Jack Nicklaus plays from the red tees now. I know he's 80 or something, but, you know, you can play from wherever you want, right?
Yeah, there's no shame in that because, quite frankly, if people would practice more with their wedges and their putter as opposed to their driver, they play better golf, whether you're 20 or whether you're 7.
On behalf of the players.
You play better golf because that's where those are scoring clubs.
So, yep. Now,
we all know that. We just didn't do it. We wanted to hit the long ball for too many years, and it cost me too much money to do that.
Speaking with the great Frank Bassett of Golf Talk America. Now, when I spoke to you before we were going to talk and we talked about a couple of topics we might cover, I said that I wanted to get your opinion, because I hadn't spoken to you about this Super League that I've been talking about for a couple of weeks on the show, and everybody pretty much knows about it now, this idea of a separate tour with 16 to 20 of the top players in the world. They offered Phil Mickelson $100 million to all this crap, which that's the word I use. I wish I could use another word. But you did a whole show, you said, on Golf Talk America about this. So tell me your thoughts on this ridiculous idea.
We did. We devoted an entire show to this. Well, let's just put it this way. Greg Norman tried this way back. Eventually, he was shot down, and eventually it turned into the WGC, the World Golf Championships. Okay, so this situation is not new. It started years ago with money coming out of the Middle East, which is very, you know, flush in cash.
Yes.
Because there's this dinosaur juice that we use to ride around town in.
Correct.
So they threw money at the top tier players of the PGA Tour to lure them into another tour. And the reasoning behind it was they told the players, said, look, you don't get appearance fees with the PGA Tour. They won't let you do that. And less than 1% of the players on the PGA Tour win a tournament. I mean, let's face it. You can play for years and be a great golfer, but it's so deep and so talented, you don't win. Long story short, they come up with an idea. They're going to give X million dollars to each player to jump ship, top 10, top 20 players, to form groups, let the players be player owners within this, and give them 10 million or 20 million or 30 million, or in Phil's case, 100 million up front to come join that tour and leave the PGA Tour. And they would start a world golf tour, Premier Golf League, whatever you want to call it, and compete with the PGA Tour. Now, they have not signed any media agreements or anything at this point, but there's enough money there to do pretty much what they want to do. Yeah, the PGA Tour now has just signed a $700, $800 million deal. They basically put the Golf Channel almost out of business with that kind of money, and they've signed the other networks. So the PGA Tour is the big, deep pocket money monster. Camp Pontevedra, as I lovingly call it, down in Florida, is the headquarters of the PGA Tour there at Sawgrass. Well, they laid off X number of people because of COVID. They said, well, we're going to have to cut back. We're going to lay you off and all this. Yet, they somehow, in a pillowcase somewhere under Funkin Wagnall's porch, found $40 million to put a group or a situation together where they could offer the top 10 players. First prize is $3 million or whatever it is, and all the way down. $8 million, I think it was, for first prize.
Right.
And it was not based on their talent and their playing acumen, but based on their social media interaction, based on their brand ambassador engagement. So Michael Wan did that just by putting the handles, like the Twitter handles, on the back of the caddy bibs for the LPGA. Genius. The PGA Tour tried to do it, in my opinion, to thwart the Premier Golf League, in essence, giving the top 10 players. Now, they really need it. The top 10 players really need extra money. Come on. It's the players down the line that need the money, okay? But the tour, Frank, I'm sorry, you've been laid off. Good luck getting a job at Walmart, but we've got an extra 40, 50, 100 million. I think the tour needs to go back to whatever closet or whatever front porch they found that money at and find some more, and let's spread it out, because they've not even touched the $700 to $800 million that they're receiving for these new media deals.
Right.
So it's a battle. It's a battle. It's a money grab. The PGA Tour is a 501c3. And you know, I don't want them to fire me over this, but let's face it. Facts are facts. Premier Golf League said, hey, we got more money. We're going to flex our muscles and see what we can do. So the tour and their meeting at Quail Hollow, their annual player meeting, Jay Monahan stood up and said, boys, if you jump ship to that other tour, you can never come back to the PGA Tour. As I said on my show, I keep a picture here in the studio of Jay Monahan, much like government offices have a picture of the president.
Yeah.
The caption under Jay's is, you'll never work in this town again. Okay. So it's looking bad to the people out there who really don't know golf, but they love it as entertainment. It looks like a bunch of whining multimillionaires and a bunch of extremely rich people at Camp Pontevedra I mean, let's look at the salaries those boys make at the USGA and at the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
And it just looks bad. It's a bad image for everybody, including golf. And it's out of control now.
Here's what I have said. That whole $40 million deal, they could do a lot with 40 or more that they could find in terms of the other players on the tour, in terms of keeping to help. I know they raise a lot of money for charities at PGA Tour events. There are a lot of different things they could be doing with that kind of money. The top players in this game, as you said, it's not even about the golf. It's about their sponsorships and how much money they make and all of that. What about the other, as you said, 99% of tour players? I mean, look, we're not crying for them. The 50th ranked player in the world makes, I'm picking a number, $10 million a year, $7 million a year. We're not, you know, pining for them, those guys.
Right.
But still, what about all of those other guys? And I love that Jay Monahan said, if you guys do this, you're out. I love that. Because this is about the history of the game. It's about which the top players care more about than anything. Rory doesn't care about making another $50 million. No, he cares doesn't. About winning as many majors as he can. That's right. The important part of this.
Yeah, it is. The majors, they would all band together. They did. The USGA came up. The PGA of America came up and said, you know, we're behind Jay, and we don't want to take this apart. Yeah. I don't want to see it taken apart either, and I don't want to see a premier golf league. I think that's worthless. I don't want to watch golf at 2 a.m. in the morning.
Correct.
secondly, I think it's a bad image for the PGA Tour. They could handle it just a little bit better. Where did the $40 million come from? Who was that supposed to go to? The First Tee program, the Little Sisters of the Poor?
Correct.
Children's Hospital in Indiana, for instance? Mm-hmm. Riley's Hospital for Children? Where did they come up with $40 million? That's absolutely asinine to me that just it all is. Of a sudden, hey, it's Bullwinkle. Hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat.
Oh, these are such good references you're pulling out today. Funk and Wackles and Rocky and Bullwinkle. All right, we only got about a half a minute left. Where can people get Golf Talk America?
Anywhere you get your podcasts, Apple iTunes podcast, Google, everywhere, 17 different platforms, plus morningread.com, which is a great daily publication that you all as golfers should subscribe to.
So, absolutely. And
golftalkamerica.com. So there you
go. There you go. A million places. And lastly, in 5 seconds, who's going to win the PGA?
I don't have it.
Okay. I don't either. I'm just trying to
get
ideas.
It's not going to be Tiger.
Oh, boy. Oh, thanks. Now we can end on a sad note. My buddy Frank Bassett, one of the all-time greats. Thanks, pal. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, buddy.
See ya.
Loved it.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Man O' War Golf, the golf improvement experts.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Backspin Golf here on this Sunday morning. Joining me now, as he always does, my partner in golf, Matt McCready, from the Best Practice Facility Anywhere. I know I keep saying it every week, but it's the truth. So I'm going to say it over there at Man O' War. Hi, Matt McCready.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. I'm fine. Thank you. Good. Okay. Great talking to you. See you
soon. Absolutely. All right. Next week.
I mentioned this in the opening of the show. I just touched on it because I wanted to get into it a little more with you. Maybe, you know, we got the Byron Nelson going on and we got this going on and PGA is next week. But something happened this past week that is an absolute disgrace. And it involves the NCAA, which is not shocking at all. But it seems like every single sport that the NCAA has anything to do with, somehow it's going to get screwed up, sometimes worse than others. But this is really a shame. And I'm talking about the NCAA Women's Regional in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, at the home of LSU Golf, the University Club. And just real quick for people listening, if you still don't know about this, they had 7 inches of rain over a few days leading up to the tournament, starting right before it. It was canceled on Wednesday. Nobody hit a shot. Nobody. And this was the regionals for these women's teams to go to the NCAA Women's Golf Championships. And here's the comment that gets you. This guy, Brad Hurlburt, the NCAA committee representative for the event, came out, stood on the steps, and announced to all these players, even though the course is playable, it's not playable at a championship level. And so they sent the six teams, the top, they used the seeding, sent the top seeded six teams and three individuals who weren't on those teams onto the NCAA championships. Your thoughts, Matt?
I would say that I'm shocked, but we're talking about the NCAA, so I don't know how shocked I can really be. But it's just, it's awful. It's disgusting. It's every other, word you can use to describe it. That's how bad it is. My thing is, where I get really confused is the course is playable, but not a championship level. I'm sorry, but if the course is playable, why not play? There's rules around casual water. You can play it up. You can clean the mud balls off that they'll have in the fairway, because these are all girls golfers. But let me tell you, girls golf, especially girls that are really, really good at golf, they don't miss very many, if at all, fairways.
Yeah.
So it's pretty easy for them to hit it down the middle. They can mark it. They can clean their mud off and hit their next shot. They can move. There's rules around casual water. There's rules around all of this. So the golf course is playable, but not a championship level. I mean, we've had plenty of PGA Tour events and European PGA Tour events that have just been soaked, and they've gone on. You have past rules that go on and you put them into place and you say, hey, we're still playing. Yeah, it's wet, but we're still playing. Like, it was way more than doable. There's plenty of videos that you can find. I found one where a guy was walking around in one of the holes and was like, I'm in one of the fairways right now. It is really wet, but there is no casual water right here. So you can easily hit a golf shot.
And right.
It just blows my mind that's the line that really, that's where I lost it and was like, well, it's playable. Well, then who cares? Like, well, it's not like they're playing at a goat ranch. They're playing at, LSU golf course, which is pretty nice to begin with. So, it's going to be a little wet, but it's still a great golf course. Just a little wet. Just play. Just play. What's it matter? Just play. They wanted to play. The girls didn't care. They wanted to play.
Well, they did. And I'll get to that in a second. Here's the thing. What you just talked about is called lift clean in place. It goes on the PGA Tour all the time. As a matter of fact, Thursday in the opening round of the Byron Nelson, the PGA Tour, they played lift clean and place, and 132 of the 156 golfers shot par or under par.
Mm-hmm.
And they still have a tournament, even though those pros are killing it. It's a gettable golf course, but they played lift clean in place. Here's the other thing. We just went through a year where many of these women's teams had their seasons canceled.
Right.
And now we get to a point, what about the seniors? Mm-hmm. Whose season, all of a sudden, when that idiot walked out on the steps and said that, they're done. Their college careers are over. Here's another thing, Matt, and I just looked this up. First of all, they could have made, this was possible, they could have made some of the par fours into par threes.
Right.
And according to what I'm reading, a par 67 could have been used for this tournament. It didn't rain all day. They could have just had an 18-hole qualifier. That's number one. That's in the rules. It's in the event manual that if 54 holes of qualifying can't be completed, 36-hole scores should be used or 18-hole scores. So they could have done that. Here's the other thing. The NCAAs don't begin till May 21st. But there's the NCAA, here we go again, has imposed a stipulation that all rounds had to be completed by Wednesday with no flexibility. They could have easily, they could have easily done this. It wasn't like the NCAAs were starting 2 days later.
Right.
This whole thing is ridiculous. But the good news is the TPC of Louisiana offered their course for a makeup regional. Yep. Now, the outcry for this has been pretty huge. Barstool Sports is trying to set up a tournament for all the women's teams that weren't invited.
I think somewhere down in Arizona, I think, is where they have it set up.
Yeah.
All they're trying to do is make sure that they're not going to violate any kind of eligibility or anything by doing that. And I think that's what Riggs, who's the guy behind it all, he's, as of this morning, I saw that he was just waiting on confirmation that it wasn't going to do anything. And I think Barstool is paying for all the teams and players to get there, which is just fantastic.
Yes. And they listed all of those teams. And obviously they're from all around the country, Baylor, Mississippi State. There are all these teams, I believe Sam Houston State, that were supposed to be playing in this regional. And again, the women that were involved were outraged and hurt and heartbroken. And think about their parents, too.
Right.
I mean, as a parent, I'm going, if that was my daughter that this happened to, you got a lot of irate people out there. And again,
and they, it's not as shy. Well, they should be. That's how they should be.
Right. So we'll keep track of what's going on with this and just see what's going to happen. Because, again, it's the NCAA.
You said it right there. It's the NCAA. But you know what? I want to touch back real quick to that one thing you said, you know, how they have to be completed by Wednesday. And it's like you said, the NCAA, the championship doesn't start until like next
week. 9 days later.
Right. Yeah. So what's it matter? I mean, let's just move the golf course. You know, let's wait two or three more days. And it just blows my mind that they can't. But they're like, this is such a static rule. It can't be changed. And it's like, well, this is one of those situations where you should make a change to that.
Absolutely. I mean, and again, we'll see, because the outcry about this has been huge, although that never has really done anything with the NCAA and those idiots.
Right.
All right. Here's something else I want to touch on. Of course, we're speaking with my guy, Matt McGrady, over at Man of War Golf. We've talked about last week. We talked about me topping my 3-wood, and somebody put a very funny comment on Twitter. I don't know if you saw it, that when I posted the tweet about the show last Sunday morning, what was coming up, I said, and Matt McGrady tries to teach me how not to top my 3-wood. Somebody put, he's going to tell you to get a 4-wood. There's a lot of wise guys out there. Anyway, here's something I was thinking about as I went to play golf yesterday. You get to the course and you have a 9:30 tee time, and you get there at about 9, and you go to the range. And I'm not saying me, because I really don't do this, but most people maybe hit a wedge and then hit a 6-iron and then take their driver and hit about 12, 15 drives. Then they walk over to the putting green and they hit 3 or 4 putts and they pick their ball up and they get in the cart or walking, and then they take off.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the optimal way to play golf when you're getting ready to go to the first tee. We should spend most of our time, I mean, warm up, loosen up your muscles, but get over to the green, do some chipping, and then do some putting, obviously. What would you recommend before you go to the first tee when you're going to play a round of golf? How would you do it?
I would say if you're saying you get there at 9 o'clock, you have a 9:30 tee time, you should spend at least 5 to 8 minutes, or even really 5 to 10 minutes, stretching. Just any kind of basic stretching is so important, because even that combined with hitting a few balls on the range. And when we get to the range after stretching, I'm totally for a few wedges, a few 7 irons, and then just like one or two or three drivers. But that last driver swing, try to put yourself in the position as you were on the first tee, visualize the hole out on the driving range, and try to hit the shot that you want to hit on the first tee, and then walk away.
Right.
Hit it, walk away. Let's go to the green. You know, that's, we're 8 minutes stretching. We were 12 minutes on the range. We've got 10 minutes to use for putting now. Let's hit a few chips, and then let's work on three to five footers. Nobody needs to work on 12 to 15 to 20 feet range. Like that's pointless. We need to work on 3 to 5 footers, and then work on a 30 footer to get speed down.
Mm-hmm.
Spend that in your 8 minutes on the putting green, and you've got 2 minutes to get to the first tee.
But stretching
to me is just as important as hitting balls.
And I think many people forget about that.
Yes.
There are a lot of times that I forget about it. I'll try to do it. I got one of those orange whip things, mm-hmm. which are really good to warm up with. And I'll take a few swings with that, a few kind of easy ones, and then a couple harder ones and to loosen up. But I should combine that with stretching.
Right.
I should stretch at home before you even go to the golf course.
Yes.
And that's a really great tip. All right. We got about, I don't know, a minute and a half or something. Tell me what's going on over at Man of War Golf.
Man of War, we've got starting this Thursday, we've got our PGA Junior League starting up. Still plenty of time to get your kiddos signed up for that. PGA Junior League is the most awesome thing for kids to get started in golf. It's competitive, but it's not gut-wrenching competitive.
It's fun. Right.
It's so much fun. The kids have a lot of fun. They get jerseys. They play little matches. They can play with a friend. It's a lot of fun. You know, we recommend PGA Junior League a lot, you know, because of how easy it is to just introduce your kid to it. And that makes your kid more comfortable getting into golf because they can have a friend right there. It's not life or death situations. It's just,
right. Hey,
let's have fun. Other than PGA Junior League, adult clinics going on as normal. And then at Thoroughbred Golf Club out in Nicholasville, we'd love to have everybody out all the time. So, I mean, golf course is in fantastic condition. I played a few holes the other day, and the greens are perfect. Everything is just coming together over here with new ownership. And, you know, we're just excited to be partnered up with them and, you know, help take this course in a new direction.
Right. That's a great, great place, peeps. If you haven't been out to Thoroughbred, you got to go check it out. And of course, just go over to Man of War, practice, do all the stuff that you need to do to get better. All right. Thanks, pal. I will see you this week.
Sounds good.
All right, man. Matt McCrady, everybody. All right. That'll do it for another edition of Backspin Golf. We'll be back next Sunday. Woo. I think we're live. It's PGA, the PGA Championship next week. We got a lot to talk about with that. Thanks to our incredible partners, Man of War Golf, of course. Go to manofwargolf.com and just check out everything they have going on over there. Edwin Watts, same thing. EdwinWatts.com. Georgetown Advantage Air, best peeps in the business. Anything you need for your home, we're going to need the air conditioning. I know it's hard to believe, but have them check it out. Commonwealth Credit Union, our friends over there. Clark's Pump and Shop, Dan Cummins in Paris and Georgetown. Kentucky CBD, Gearheads, and of course, Lexington Parks and Rec with our 5 great golf courses. And I'll tell you what, I was out at Kearney, and man, it is perfect. They could play a PGA event out there now, but all of our courses are great. thanks to our wonderful partners. And we'll be back next week for the PGA Championship show. All of it. Thanks, Sean, by the way. All of it here on ESPN Sports Radio, 1392.5. Stay tuned for The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor and then The Angelo Show. Have a great Sunday, everybody.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Lexington Parks and Recreation. Book your tee time at one of their five public courses at lexingtonky.gov. Play Golf Lexington.